Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go, this is it! This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the Monday morning episode. Usually, we try and do the Monday episode on a Sunday evening and put it out early for the IFS subscribers. We weren't able to do that last night for various reasons. We can confirm that they are not related to the late breaking news last night that the photograph of the Princess of Wales that had been issued for Mother's Day was revealed as being severely fiddled with, I think is the correct photography term for it.
Mm, yes.
Who by? We don't know. I suspect Prince William or Prince Harry. But it emerged last night that Associated Press, Reuters, the Sunday Sport, all of the great photo agencies had issued what they call a kill notice.
Whoa. On great that name for a thriller, kill notice.
The kill notice, or a group even.
Or a video game. Lots of potential there.
Any kind of creative endeavour. So, yeah, that I don't know if you took a look at the photograph yesterday at all, Sam, before all this kicked off last night.
The first thing I'd say is this is a great day for the Zoom in wanker community.
Completely.
The Zoom in wanker
community. We are now fully behind them.
I've come in for a lot of flack, not least from us. I hate Zoom in wankers. And yet, they will be saying today, well, you criticised us for being weirdos, voyeurs, peeping Toms, perverts. People who obsessed over the details of other people's lives rather than getting on with their own. But today, we have scored a great victory because it's only through our zoom-in wankerishness that we have discovered a potential plot against the state.
They've been saying we've all of our other work, other wankery has been building up to this.
It was building up.
And they're right.
They'll be saying, Sam, when you just posted a throwaway picture of something for the podcast of you in the Vita Modular, us zooming in and examining like the titles of books on your bookshelf, or like the brand of scissors that was sort of on, you know, on your desk, or something else fucking super creepy and weird. Like, you don't understand. That wasn't because we were just tedious weirdos with nothing better to do. It was because we were putting in the fucking time and effort necessary to hone our skills for a national emergency. And then the time came, the calling came, this is a national emergency, and we have unearthed the truth. What is that truth? Well, we don't know, but we know what is not true, and that is that the Princess Kate, Princess of our hearts and minds, was not really in that photo. It was a construct by AI. It was AI.
It was AI. Very well done, I guess. I checked all of the people's fingers. They all had the correct number of fingers, which is something that AI struggles with. It'll usually give people six or four. But actually, everyone's got four fingers. The thumb is not a finger.
Technically, that's not a finger, and it's not a limb either, or a digit. It actually counts as another tongue, if you actually know about biology. The tongue is an organ, and the thumb is actually a muscle. What?
And the tomato is actually a fruit.
See, when you say it's Harry, I can imagine that, because, like, sometimes with one of my brothers, I'll ring up and I'll go, hello, have you still got Photoshop on your computer? Yeah, no, I haven't got it. Cause, it's too expensive. It's not worth it. But didn't you have it for work? Oh, you've got a dodgy download. Well, anyway, listen, can you have a look at a picture for me? Because I'm about to post it on Instagram. But I need you to take the bags out from under my eyes before I post it. Like, I think that was Prince William. He doesn't like speaking to Prince Harry. They've fallen out because Prince Harry married a black woman, and yes. Prince William objected to that. I believe that's the story. There's other details, but I think that's what it boils down to, right? And so he doesn't talk to him. It's basically the plot line of the Madness classic Embarrassment, right?
That's what it is.
The royals have been living out the song Embarrassment. So he's like, look, you know, Harry, I want to be civil, but you did marry a black American, and that's really not on.
That's not in the rules.
It's not in the rules, so obviously I won't talk to you. However, it's not silly. It's not like the Gallaghers, where we're going to threaten each other publicly. And, you know, I'll call you sometimes if it's a family emergency, like if Dad has cancer, if Nana's died, or if I need access to Photoshop. I know you've got it on your laptop, and you know that I don't have it on my laptop, and frankly, I'm not willing to pay for it, right? Why should I pay for Photoshop when I might use it maximum 4 times a year? It just doesn't make any financial sense. You've got it, so if I need it, you even said to me once, you said, look, don't bother getting it. If ever you need something Photoshop, call me. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm reaching out to you. I need a photo Photoshopped.
I mean, and so, back to that thing about the rules as well. He said to him, you know the rules. We're not allowed to marry black Americans. If we would have done, I'd have had a go at Halle Berry years ago or Chaka Khan.
And I could have as well. I could have. No problem. They gave me the green light, both of them. But no. I said, listen, I'm flattered. Flo Jo. No way. Florence.
I think Flo Jo's dead.
Florence Griffiths joined her before she passed away, sadly.
But yeah, I think Harry's got the login, not for the Photoshop, but for that Twitter account, and he's done this.
Yeah,
and he's put it up.
He's put
his
he's
wife
left
has. His evil wife might have done it.
Yeah.
Or she'll have been egging him on at the very least. But yeah, it's all kicked the fuck off, and now it's over to the palace to try and. Well, it's a different palace, isn't it? It's the Palace of Kensington.
Palace of Kensington. It's not far from me. I can walk over there. I said to my, I really managed to get my daughter. Invested in this story this morning.
Yeah.
I often try to get her invested in stories that are of interest to me, and she's rarely shows any interest.
We talk about on this podcast.
Yeah, she's not interested, but today she is, because the kids are all into that story of Gypsy Rose, who is that girl who... are you aware of Gypsy Rose?
I'm aware. She's just been released from prison or something, but I'm not sure what it's all about.
I'm not sure, but my daughter and all her mates, they love That's Gypsy good. Rose, right? They think it's great.
That seems and ideal I said, for us to talk about them.
I said, look, it's a bit like Gypsy Rose. Like, I think she might be in a coercive control relationship. I think she might be locked in a spaceman. I don't know, but it's got strong Gypsy Rose vibes. So my daughter got quite into it. And I said to her and my son, I said, listen, why don't you both take the day off school and get the
good
bus
idea.
Over to Kensington Palace. It's like half an hour at the most on the bus.
So lucky.
Right?
Yeah.
I said, go over there, do some digging, do some detective work. It'll be like in an Enid Blyton book where kids just fuck off school to go and fucking poke their nose in other cunts' business, which is like what all Enid Blyton books are about. I said, do that. That's good. That'll teach you more than they're fucking teaching you up at that school.
Mm.
Yeah. But then my wife walked in and she overheard what I was trying to brief them to do. And she was like, no, they've got to go to school. You can't fucking send the kids to Kensington Palace.
Legally obliged to go to school. Yeah.
They'll get arrested if they hang around there too much. Mm. But yeah, I mean, one thing I would say is that I'm quite glad about this in a way, because I was gearing up. We had some couple of messages showing enthusiasm for our T-shirt idea last week, which was, where is she? Right?
Yeah.
We were going to do a load of T-shirts that just Something said, that. Where is she? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few people going, yeah, I'll buy that. So I'm gearing up to get a shitload of them fucking printed up, yeah?
Yes, up.
And and suddenly this fucking picture's released yesterday morning. I'm like, fuck! And it reminded me of, and this is true, at Heat, when we were running this story about how Ashley Cole... had allegedly cheated on Cheryl Cole. Mm. This is the
allegedly.
Late noughties, where these two were effectively that they were the William and Kate of their time.
They were
time.
Old William and Kate, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I was like, okay. The story was that no matter what he did, she would never leave him ever. She would never leave him. That was what our sources told us, mm-hmm. right? Like, she was hypnotized by his charm, his well-documented, Ashley Cole's well-documented charm, intelligence and wit, right?
It's nothing. What he was known for, even more his than charisma. His abilities at left-back or left-wing-back.
Yeah. Oh, he was a great left-back.
Or on the left-hand side of a three, if he really had to.
Well, not. I think he lacked a little bit of the height and power for that. Yeah. But, and I think Cheryl would have been the first.
If he had to.
Cheryl would be the first to admit that herself. He'd do a
She'd
job
say
to because
him,
he's
not,
professional.
You're not playing in the left-hand side of a three today, are you, Ash?
You must be mad. You'll get found out. If you're playing against a physical side with a centre foot, whether they're going to put high balls in to the box, you're going to get found out.
She'd say, who's it against? She'd say, we're away at Derby. Oh, there's a pile of one chop, so you'd probably be all right.
She'd be like,
he'd play up top on his own. Yeah. You don't need three at the back against Paolo one chop on his own.
Yeah, but the thing is, Shel, they play with wingers and they'll push them up high. Yeah, well, exactly. So why aren't you playing with a four? Why aren't you playing four? Yeah, but we'll just split. Well,
match them.
Depends if we're in possession or out position, Shel.
Then your two centre backs still they can still take care of one chop.
And like what we're supposed to do is we split. When the goalie's got the ball, we split and he might roll it out to me and I'll play it up the left hand channel. Into the left hand channel. Yeah? For Didier.
We go from there.
And she's like, okay.
We go hard.
All right, well listen, look after yourself because you're absolutely you're a terrier in defence and you're fantastically going forward. But I don't know, when things get physical and high balls come in, I worry for your safety.
She said, look after yourself, have a nice day, and don't forget to take your sandwiches with you.
Yeah.
I'm cucumber.
Actually, I said to her once, when I interviewed her once, I think it was before that, before I was at Heat, I interviewed her for another magazine, Girls Aloud, and I go to her, and one of the questions that the magazine had given me for a quick Q&A was like, what's your favourite accent in a man, right? Mm. And she was like, I remember her going,
Macum.
Oh, I don't really know. I don't really know what accents really. So I said, well, I'll go through them. I said, what do you think of a London accent? And she was like, oh, I said, that bad, yeah. And she goes, no, she was like, what is a London accent? I said, well, mine's a bit like a London accent. And she went, no, I don't really like London accents. And I went, I said, you know, your husband's got a London accent. And she went, has he? Oh, I don't really like it. I don't really listen to him. No, actually, I'm not saying she was thick because I didn't find her thick in the least, to be honest. But I just thought that was funny that she was sort of oblivious to the way her husband spoke. But anyway, I got these. What was it? I said the badges. I got like 2,000 badges printed up.
Yeah, I told you not to.
No, not for us. This is another time with badges. I've got a fucking track record of this bullshit.
Okay.
This was not for the turbo.
You haven't done the badges, though, have you, again this time?
No, I haven't done it this time. No, I got badges printed up at Heat. This is like, I'm a repeat offender. At Heat, I got something like 2,000 badges, and it said something like, what was it, Ashley? It said ditch the rat or something, right?
Oh.
And it had a picture of Ashley Cole's head and it had like a red stop sign through it, right? And I had fucking loads of them and T-shirts and I wanted to start like a national campaign in the magazine to encourage her to ditch him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a meeting and someone comes in, knocks on the door and says, Sam, can we have a word? And I go, no, I'm busy. And they go, it's important, you're going to want to know it. And I go, what? And they go, Cheryl Cole's people have just issued a statement saying that she's left Ashley Cole. And
shit.
I was like, what? But the front cover, right?
I got a warehouse full of badges.
Yeah, it was that. And also the magazine had gone to print already, right?
Oh,
with
man.
That.
That's magazines for you.
Yeah, and it was terrible. And we had to pulp the badges. We had to pulp the T-shirts.
Pulp the magazine.
And I thought, fucking hell, this is the same deal all over again. Absolute nightmare.
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't know what's happened. We're waiting for a response from Kensington Palace. I did see that somebody was arrested on Saturday night for driving their car into the gates of Buckingham Palace. Now, I assume that was a failed rescue attempt to rescue the princess from the tower, like what in the nursery rhymes and the fairy tales. But wrong palace. to be fair, because she's in Kensington. Unless he knows something we don't, and she's actually in Buckingham. Mm. That's where they've got her. Don't know.
Yeah, don't know. Well, I just hope, I don't know, I mean, I feel, I'm glad I called off my kids, or that my wife made me to call off my kids. Mm. And I think, I've actually heard from a reliable source what this is about, and it is a little bit, it's from what I heard it was about, it's a little bit sad and problematic. And so what I would say, and I'll probably tell you this off air, is that we, as a news organisation, which is what we are,
we are accredited.
That's what we are officially, yeah. Right? We're official. We have a licence, right? We've got a licence off of Ofcom, and so we have to obey Ofcom's rules. I think we ought to step back from the story a little, because when the truth comes out,
yeah,
it's nothing like as dramatic as the conspiracy theories say, but let's just say she's unwell.
Mm.
We wish her the best. The pictures have been doctored, and
that was ill-advised.
the pictures shouldn't have been doctored. It was a silly thing to do. And get well soon, Kate, is all I can
say.
Yeah,
if you're listening, I'm sure she's got a lot of time on her hands.
If you're listening, Kate, if you're listening, Kate, and you'd like to come as a guest on The Reset, my mental health podcast, anytime you want to share what it's like, the stresses and strains of being in the royal family, the House of Windsor.
Never mind The Reset, we'll get her on here.
Oh, yeah, well.
You can go into Sam's Vita Modular, he'll bring another chair in, you can come up here at Sunderland.
Get your cup of tea. We'll do it in Sunderland. We could do it in Nottingham at the Premier Inn.
Halfway, or if you like, just do it on Zoom. Whatever works best for you, Pet. So there we go, and we'll see what happens. No doubt it will be pretty mad.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Got anything to say about the Oscars last night?
I think the Oscars are just daft, aren't they? They're just
silly, isn't it? All award ceremonies are silly.
They're for wallies and nerds.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why are you getting so excited about? Actually, this year I had seen a couple of the films they were on about. I think I've seen like 4.
What are they on about?
They were on about a few films. But I don't know what the best fucking film is. I haven't seen all the films. But people who haven't seen all the films will go, oh, I can't believe that one won. That one should have won.
That one's better than that one.
It don't fucking matter. It doesn't mean you can watch whatever films you want. It's not like they're saying, and the best film, and therefore the only film you're allowed to watch going forward, is Oppenheimer. But I like Barbie. Well, what's Barbie then? It don't matter. You can watch what you want, mate. It doesn't matter. It's just what they think.
Yeah.
It's like if you're in a pub and someone says, I like Manchester United. You don't have to go, but I don't like them. I like West Ham. It's like, all right, well, fair enough, mate. Watch West Ham, then don't watch Manchester United. It's up to you.
Horses for course, isn't it?
Yeah. stop it. Stop liking a film I don't like. yeah, it's
dark. I did see that they got everyone was going fucking nuts about Ryan Gosling singing his Barbie song and got Slash from Guns N' Roses to join him on the electric guitar. And I mean, oh, fucking hell, it's 2024. Is that not the most fucking backwards thing you can come up with? Let's get Slash from Guns N' Roses on. Fucking hell, man. Let's get fucking Chuck Berry.
Oh, mate, talking of great pop stars, one thing that I forgot to say to you was I watched that Greatest Night in Pop, which I know you've seen. I watched it last week.
We Are the World thing, yeah.
Fucking hell, mate. At one point, I turned to my wife and I said, this is the most enjoyable television experience I've ever had.
It was very good, yeah.
I was so happy. It made me so happy. I just sat there feeling so happy to be watching, like, all of the... I mean, I found it just hilarious, obviously, fascinating. Mm-hmm. And just, like, I mean, this was, like, my happiest moment in pop, really. All these people there, all the stories about the likes of Michael Jackson, Prince. Stevie Wonder was obviously hilarious. And, like, Lionel Richie, amazing. And you know, all the stuff about Bob Dylan. But I tell you what, really, I mean, honestly, I can't recommend this enough. I just think it's one of the best things I've ever seen. But that might just
be
me
personally.
It's on
Netflix, in case you're wondering.
It's on Netflix. I loved it. But Al Jarreau is someone, to me, he's a big person of interest.
Pissed up, right? Al Jarreau, yeah.
Al Jarreau was pissed. About that. Right, and I already had a deep interest in Al Jarreau, right, because he's so strange. And the other day, on one of the Top of the Pops accounts I follow, a clip of him singing the theme tune to Moonlighting came on, which, for a lot of us, that was the first we would have heard of Al Jarreau, right? Mm. I didn't realise he was a bigger star than that. So I think when I'd seen him on the fucking We Are the World, the first time around, I thought, who's this cunt, right? Then he's turned up on fucking... the Moonlighting theme tune, which, by the way, is an awful song. It's really depressing, right? And he was on Top of the Pops.
It's all right on Moonlighting, where they just clipped 30 seconds of it. It worked perfectly on that. But then when he's doing it on
Have you seen him doing it on Top of the Pops? It's so weird and it's so boring. And we were talking about when a soul artist came on from America, and my favourite music is 80s soul, American 80s soul music, but... when you see them, like if you saw Alexander O'Neill, right, on there doing a ballad, or you see particularly Al Jarreau, like you remember what it's like when you were a kid and you just were waiting for someone like Madness to come on, right?
Mm.
And these cunts would come on and you'd be like, ah, get it off, switch up the telly, mum,
kissing
it's all my fucking nutting, right? But like Al Jarreau is so boring, he's just standing there and he's so creepy and weird. And then it reminded me, I think I might have told you about this before, but the weirdest song and video I've ever seen, right, is called Up on the Roof. It's called Up on the Roof, it's by Al Jarreau. Right. And it's from the mid-80s. And I just came across it once because it came up on, you know, when Spotify chucks you random songs. And this is about 8 years ago. It chucked me this song. I thought, this is a weird song. Fucking hell, Al Jarreau's weird. I'm going to look up the video. So then I looked up the video, right? And I became, this is going back about 8 years, I became so obsessed with this video, I kept being that weird cunt who kept showing it to everyone everywhere I went on my phone. Here, do you remember Al Jarreau? Yeah, well... do you know a song by him called On Up on the Roof? No, have a look at this. And I'll be showing it to everyone and go, yeah, pretty weird. But honestly, it's worthy of a history box.
Really?
You have to... I can't explain how weird it is, but Al Jarreau, his behaviour is so peculiar in this video. And the way that he sings, where he just starts going into these weird voices, almost like he's having a spasm, is so strange. All I would say is, listeners, look it up now, right? Up on the Roof, Al Jarreau. Or maybe On the Roof, I'm not sure.
Right. Okay, Al Jarreau, no longer with us, unable to respond to these comments.
Can't sue. And everything about it is so strange. So Al Jarreau, I mean, all round, most boring ever performance on Top of the Pops, check. Drunkest man at We Are the World, right?
Comfortably.
Check.
Yeah.
And strangest song and video combination of all time, check. Al Jarreau, person of interest.
And of course, he was so pissed that he was getting on everyone else's nerves at We Are the World.
Yeah, and they were like, fuck off, Al Jarreau.
Yeah. If Prince turns up, we're getting him in. We'll definitely sing, you can fuck off, Al Jarreau, because you're a knob.
Yeah, I think you told me that already, didn't you? And Prince goes, I'll come, but only if I can do a guitar solo.
Only a guitar solo in another room.
Lionel Richie and Quincy Jones are going, oh, we don't need a guitar solo. Well, I'm only coming to do that. Can't you sing a bit? No.
And then there's that bit where they're trying to insert a couple of lines of lyrics of African text.
Yeah, that's like, Stevie Wonder's a troublemaker, isn't he?
About it. Yeah, they all talk the same in Africa, same language, innit?
Yeah, we'll do this, Swahili. And someone goes, that's not how they talk in Africa. They go, ah, fucking hell, so what? Let's do some of that clicking they do. I've seen it on the documentaries. If not, it's disrespectful.
I can do a cracking snake impression if you want. No.
What about when Stevie Wonder... I mean, they say at the beginning there was going to be troublemakers there. Cyndi Lauper, and I'm thinking, yeah, of course Cyndi Lauper's a troublemaker. She got written all over her. She'd be your main... You'd know instinctively she's going to be the one to cause trouble. But then I go, and Stevie Wonder, and I thought, oh, that's funny. I wouldn't have thought he'd be a troublemaker. And all the way through, it's because he's there and he's thinking, in a room full of geniuses, I am the preeminent genius. I know that, and every other cunt here knows that. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to fuck that. So they should all be honoured for me to be it, which is correct. They should have been. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fuck around with them all the way through.
All night. Because Stevie Wonder just operates
at night.
Someone
even shits himself.
He's got no idea of what's day and what's night. So most of the time he's awake during the night. Entire entourage just has to fit in. When Stevie's awake, we're awake.
Yeah.
So he's fucking in his pomp. He
does an impression, but at some point someone doesn't know. Oh, it's Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan doesn't know how to sing his lines. So Stevie comes over and goes, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will sing it in the style of you, right?
Yeah.
And then you will see how it's supposed to be sung if you sing like you do, which you do, right?
I could do two brilliant impersonations. One, the snake. Two, Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. Listen to this. And then he sings Bob Dylan's bit in a pitch-perfect Bob Dylan impression. And Bob Dylan looks weirded out. And Stevie Wonder turns and goes, sing it like that. And then he goes to him, I sing like you better than you do. I think he steals the show. But and that's saying something, because there's some incredible fucking show stealers in that show. But... He is the one with the most Roy Race vibes, I would say, which surprised me.
Yeah. And have you seen Bob Dylan when he's trying to sing his bit before Stevie teaches it? He's at the microphone and he's kind of going... he can't fucking get the words out.
Stevie comes in with proper all right cunts vibes, doesn't he? All right, what's going on here? I've been fucking waiting ages at it. What's that? Dylan can't do his piece, right? Oh, there's a fucking surprise. Right, everyone shut up. Listen to this. I'm going to teach you how to do it.
He's in a motorised wheelchair. He's just wheeling himself around fucking telling people what to do.
Look, mate, I'm like fucking Davros here. And then he sings that song to them all. At one point, he just starts singing to them all. He starts making up lyrics and he says something like, bad luck. Me and Ray are going to drive you home. Talking about Ray Charles.
Yeah.
He's making blind jokes about himself.
Yeah. Does he not lead him off to the toilet or something? And he says, I'll show you where it is. Come on.
Come on, Ray, you blind cunt.
Come on, Granddad.
Don't worry, I'll make sure you don't piss on your shoes, you daft blind bugger.
It's fucking great.
Stevie Wonder's great in it, but they're all great. I mean, Lionel's fucking great. Everyone's... It's just fucking amazing. But Al Jarreau, lets the side down.
Yeah, it's. We'll look at Al Jarreau further, I think. I'll put that on the list.
Yeah.
Put that on the Excel spreadsheet that we now have full of ideas. Music documentaries. There'll be a very good one, hopefully, on Friday night on BBC 4 about the group Micro Disney, who almost no one's heard of. The Irish group mid-80s, who I love very much. And the singer Carl Coughlin went on to be in Fatima Mansions, then do solo stuff, sadly no longer with us.
But what are they called? Micro Disney?
Micro Disney, yeah.
Right, okay.
I'll help and describe them. Kind of lush melodic pop with a spiky lyrical edge, let's say.
Ooh.
But they're a much-loved cult band, and this documentary was crowdfunded, and it's somehow made its way onto BBC 4 9 o'clock this Friday night. So there we go. Let's all sit down together and watch
that. Do you know what I watched last night, which stood the test of time incredibly well? The Commitments.
Oh, really? Right.
Haven't watched Commitments in years. I'm a huge Alan Parker fan. Like, I think, you know, I mean, he was knighted and he won Oscars, but even on that basis, I think he's like an underrated hero.
Yeah.
And this, for me, is one of his most underrated. I mean, it was critically acclaimed at the time. It was a fucking huge success, wasn't it? Everyone was talking about it. But I don't know now, like, people don't talk about it so much. I watched it with the kids. It's fucking hilarious. Mm. It is, it's beautiful.
Roddy Doyle wrote it, didn't he?
Roddy Doyle. But do you know what? Roddy, it's based on a Roddy Doyle book, but it was adapted for screen by Roddy Doyle together with Clement and Lafrenne.
Oh, well, there you go then.
So there you go. So it's very funny. And it's like directed by Alan Parker, right? Mm. Who, for those who don't know, I mean, Alan Parker was, I mean, when you talk about now, like barrier to access in the arts to like people from working class backgrounds, I mean, Alan Parker was the absolute real deal, right? His dad worked on the railways painting railings, right? And he worked his way up. He was from council estate. And by the end, he'd won Oscars. You know, he was a knight. But his work is so incredible. And if you look at the like the comedy, but the warmth in his portrayal. You know, we always joke about the way that middle class film directors like to romanticise working class environments in a way that doesn't quite ring true and feels slightly patronising.
Mm.
Right? I'm not talking about anyone specifically, particularly not a director that you worked with recently, right? I'm just saying that's the thing. But Alan Parker, when you look at something like The Commitments, right, which is set on the north side of Dublin in the late 80s, early 90s, right, and is on fucking estates that some people would call slum estates. But I feel he portrays with just like they look like. Like, I was like, that estate looks like a fucking right laugh, right? But there's horses on it and fucking about. But it's like, it's non-patronising. It's very authentic and it's extremely funny and warm, right? And it's beautiful as well because it's about a bunch of kids just trying to fucking reset their horizons, as the line says in the film, right?
Yeah.
But it's fucking great. The music's superb. The acting's great. And, you know, and obviously you'll remember the three Commitment ets, including Imelda, all remain highly triggering. So
that's very
it's
good.
Got a lot going for it, mate.
I've not seen it since it was first. I remember when I first started working at Outprice as well. That's when it was out. And the soundtrack used to fly out the fucking door.
I bet. I mean, it was great. They're genuinely a great band. And I think they toured, didn't they, after the film? They did a tour at like all the actors.
Because they were all talented
musicians, you know, and brilliant singers.
Oh, well, there you go then. There's something. It was on BBC, wasn't it? It'll be on iPlayer.
I think that's where we watched it. We watched it on the iPlayer. Yeah. Really good.
All right, we'll leave it there. We'll just quickly update you on the prediction league. 3 points for yourself, Sam, at the weekend. 4 points for me, 3 points for result spot, so not a lot of movement. We're down to the last 10 games of the season. Chelsea Newcastle tonight, we have predicted that. Obviously, we can't say what's going to happen there yet. We don't know. You've said 2-0 Chelsea. I said 2-1 Chelsea. Result spot says 1-0 to Chelsea, so we'll see. Obviously, that'll be completely unwatchable. Two of the most loathed teams in the known universe. So, no disrespect to fans of either, that's just how it is. There we go. Thanks for listening. If we need to do an emergency update from our Asda car parks, we will do that. So, watch out for that. Thank you very much for listening. And that's that.
That's that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.